Whether we're posting pet photos on Facebook, streaming a new movie, shopping, banking, or working, most of us enjoy the benefits of high-speed internet. Most of us. There's a new study from Ohio State that says more than 1 million Ohioans don't have adequate internet access at a cost to the economy of billions of dollars. What are the consequences of life in the online slow lane, and how do we correct that shortcoming? We're going to talk broadly about broadband today on Town Hall Ohio.
This is Town Hall Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working to forge a partnership between farmers and consumers, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
When it comes to making use of the benefits of high-speed internet, here in Ohio, there are haves and have-nots, and our guests today would like to fix that. To talk about the what's, whys, and hows of making Ohioans better connected, our guests are Stu Johnson. He's Interim Executive Director for Connect Ohio and Vice President of Digital Works. Mark Rembert is a PhD candidate at The Ohio State University and is the C. William Swank Research Associate in the College of Food, Agricultural, and Environmental Sciences. And back with us by popular demand, Brandon Kern. Brandon is Ohio Farm Bureau's Senior Director for Policy Outreach. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Joe, give me just a minute. I'm trying to download some information on what I want to say today, but our broadband speed's a little slow here in the radio studio.
Oh, no. So there you go, making my point for me. Thanks a bunch. Let's get folks introduced, first of all, to the organizations that you are affiliated with. Stu, if you would, what's Connect Ohio?
Sure. Connect Ohio is a state affiliate of Connected Nation. We're a nationwide nonprofit. We do work in about 21 states across the nation, and we advocate for broadband access, adoption, and use. So on the access front, we do mapping for the state of Ohio as to where broadband is. We do a great deal of research on how people are using broadband, trying to develop significant use. And then we do policy work, help the legislators with any policy that has to do with broadband.
And it's all important work. Who pays for it?
Right now, we had a state appropriation from our generous General Assembly last year, but that will be expiring June 30th, so we're up against another financial cliff.
Let's move on to Mark Rembert. I said a PhD student at Ohio State. Tell us a little bit about what it is. Let's begin. I also mentioned the Swank Rural Urban Policy Chair, and you're a research person there. For the folks that don't know, who's Bill Swank and what's the position?
Well, the Swank Program in Rural Urban Policy was established in recognition of the long and storied career of Bill Swank, who served the Farm Bureau for, I think, 50 years. The program was set up really to promote better cooperation between urban and rural communities in the state of Ohio. And so we do that in several ways. One of the core ways that we do that is through policy analysis and research, which is what led us to look at the issue of broadband in Ohio in our most recent policy analysis. But we've looked at topics including school choice, small business and entrepreneurship, agricultural issues, environmental issues, quality of life issues. And then we also have a advisory group that is a representative of communities from across the state that we bring together twice a year to talk about policy relevant issues to urban and rural communities in Ohio.
C. William Swank was executive vice president of Ohio Farm Bureau, as you pointed out, Mark, for many years. For folks who may have recalled our recently retired exec, Jack Fisher, Bill was the immediate predecessor there. You touched on this. It's important, though, because it's going to set the stage for what we're talking about. One of the projects for the center has been this, I think it's titled Connecting the Dots, the study that you did. We're going to talk a lot about that. So tell us what specifically you were looking at there.
Sure. So, you know, we know that broadband is a really important issue for people today, and it's an issue that is uniquely different in urban and rural communities in the state of Ohio. So Ohio has been remarkably successful at making sure that urban residents have access to high quality broadband. Over 90% of Ohio residents have access to broadband, but that sort of last few yards, we're sort of within the 10-yard line, but we haven't quite gotten to the goal line yet. That that 7% of households that don't have access to broadband account for about 1 million people in Ohio, which is a lot of people. And those people primarily live in rural areas.
Yeah. Brandon, that's kind of the core of our territory are the folks that the geography, the underserved geography is where we do a lot of business.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the maps that Connect Ohio and the Ohio State study have put together, it's you know, there's a lot of deficiencies in rural parts of the state of Ohio where our farmers and our members live and work. And so it's an issue that's been continually important to Farm Bureau members for a while now.
So, Stu, at the risk of jumping ahead of things, define broadband for us. I think most people understand, but what's the difference between broadband and unbroadband?
And obviously that would depend on who you ask. Historically, we used to define the digital divide as, you know, we'd have an address and is broadband available there or not? It was a binary answer, yes or no. And while we've reduced some of those areas with absolutely no access, again, they still exist with very few choices, if any at all. But now, so broadband initially was defined as anything faster than 56K, anything that didn't require a modem, or you know, the modem that used to dial in a dial-up connection. It went to 1.5 megabit download speed. It went to 3, then to 4, then it jumped to 10, and now the kind of the standard is 25 millibit megabit download speed and 3 meg upload speed. But it all depends on the individual. You know, I have 3 teenage daughters, so broadband for me is pretty excessive. In other cases, if it's a senior citizen that just wants to check email, they might be happy with 1.5.
How about the technology? Is broadband exclusively delivered via a cable run into the home?
No. And Connect Ohio doesn't care how it gets there as long as it gets there. But so we have copper, which runs DSL service through your telco companies. That's distance sensitive. So the further away you are from what's called a DSLAM, the generation will deteriorate over distance. So it's better than nothing, but it's kind of at the lower. Well, the lowest probably would be cellular service, which is getting better with now 4G. There's talk of 5G, but that's a whole nother conversation that we don't have time to discuss. But, you know, again, if you're at the airport on your cell phone, you can probably get 15 meg download. But if you're in the rural areas that are still on 2G and 3G, that's not really capable. There's satellite service. Fairly expensive. It has data caps. It's kind of like a cellular package, but again, better than nothing. But it can't deliver that 25 meg download speed yet. There are some instances where it can, but not really. But then there's the cable TV service and, of course, fiber. And there's what's called fixed wireless, which is not mobile wireless, but it's actually fixed. It's you have a radio on your house that links to an antenna, and it's very good signal, but it requires line of sight.
Stu Johnson is with Connect Ohio, Mark Rembert with Ohio State University, Brandon Kern of the Ohio Farm Bureau. So this is a very broad, open-ended question, and we'll jump around a little bit. So, Mark, why do we care? Why is broadband access so important?
Well, I mean, I think if you just look at the variety of uses that have emerged that rely on broadband and the internet. You know, there are obvious things like shopping, news, communication. Now entertainment is increasingly moving online. And even access to public discourse or public services. You know, as we try to make the government more efficient, more and more aspects of the government are moving online. So increasingly, just conducting daily business in our lives relies on the internet. And so in that sense, the internet is very critical. You know, I think we look at the ways in which households can really benefit. And, you know, the competition that is promoted by online shopping results in real savings for consumers. Research that's looked at what consumers are able to save by using the internet for, you know, consumer goods shopping, but also finding housing, finding insurance, a whole array of products and services. the internet provides a lot of tangible savings. And so those are real economic benefits, that when you have access to reliable broadband, you're able to access those benefits. And when you don't have access, then you're not, those households aren't able to achieve the same economic benefits that the households that have broadband access are able to get.
Yeah, there's real implications for business development too, Joe. I mean, take a look at an industry like agriculture, and in farming today, there isn't an aspect of your operation that you cannot collect data on now. If you want to do it, you can. You can collect data on every aspect of your operation, whether that's, you know, for a row crop farmer, things that we call precision agriculture, where you can collect data on where you put fertilizer in the ground and how your crops react to it, measure through soil testing what your crops need, the exact precise amount of fertilizer they need. To, if you're a livestock farmer, you can actually monitor your dairy cow and how much your dairy cow is moving around the barn, which could be an indicator. We've talked to farmers that have systems where they get a notification if a certain cow is not moving around, which can be an indicator that there's a health and wellness issue, and then they can get the veterinarian out there to look at that and address that issue. So The use of data is huge now in agriculture, and we need broadband speeds for all the tools that break down that data and help farmers manage that data in an effective way.
We'll come back to a little bit more on that later, but Stu, one of the things that we do in Farm Bureau, and I'm sure you're engaged in, as is Ohio State, not just helping farmers, but the rural community more broadly. What's it do to the competitive nature of a businessman that doesn't want to set up his brand new widget shop in Columbus? He'd rather do it over in Meigs County.
Sure, and it affects everything. And generally, you know, historically, it's been kind of a quality of life discussion, you know, shopping or email or those kind of things. But now, as Internet of Things and other technology and applications have developed, it really is being crucial, whether it's in education. You know, 4 out of 5 kids access the internet for their homework. 7 out of 10 teachers deliver their homework on internet-based platforms. So education is a big deal. Telehealth, which again affects the rural areas that we're in. Recently on NPR, the CEO of Ohio Healthcare or Ohio Hospital Association said that perhaps 50 hospitals were in jeopardy of closing or in negative margin because it has the same issues with broadband density. You still have to deliver that. You still need a good heart surgeon, even though you won't have that volume. So the cost is the same with fewer consumers. Telehealth could respond to a lot of those things. Businesses, as we mentioned, you know, 80% of the businesses are online, either to purchase their goods or to sell their goods or communicate with their customers. So now it's gone beyond quality of life to, you know, I don't want to get into this argument of whether it's a human right or not, but in some aspects, in the policy work that you probably know, Brandon, that especially in farming, we have some instances of where, you know, we want to know what kind of fertilizer is being spread. Mm-hmm. And does that affect the algae, you know, and that's all done online. So it really is a part of everything.
We are chatting with 3 experts in the area of broadband service, particularly in rural Ohio. Brandon Kern on staff here with the Farm Bureau, Mark Rembert, a PhD candidate at Ohio State, Stu Johnson with Connect Ohio. We'll be back right after this.
Life in the country beats that city every time. Oh, but life without cable gonna make me lose my mind.
Welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio. We're talking broadband service and the lack thereof in especially rural parts of Ohio. Brandon Kern of Ohio Farm Bureau, Mark Rembert of Ohio State, Stu Johnson with Connect Ohio are our guests. Stu was kind of spelling out some of the business aspects of why broadband service in rural areas is an important thing that we should be thinking about. You got into some of that study of economic development and the relationship between that and broadband service, Mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, I think that's usually broadband expansion is couched in this argument of economic development, especially in rural areas. And it's definitely the case that businesses, you know, both in urban and rural areas are increasingly relying on the internet to conduct business. But we went into the sort of economics literature on this question and tried to get a sense of whether or not broadband actually does drive economic development. And it's a tough one to figure out empirically, because it's not always clear whether or not the broadband drives the economic development or the economic development drives the broadband.
Classic chicken and egg.
Exactly. Economists are always burdened by the chicken and egg question. But there has been some really good research on it. And what it's actually found is that there can be some unintended consequences of broadband expansion in rural areas. The research has shown that broadband really helps high-skilled workers. It really sort of leverages their skills and makes them even more productive. But broadband and information technologies can be used as substitute for lower-skilled workers. And so one of the issues in going into a rural area is, for example, it might allow a small business owner to expand their market by selling online. It also exposes that small business owner to more competition from the outside. Another example is it might help a local bank be more competitive, but part of that competitiveness might be from outsourcing certain services to urban areas that can now be done online. So, there can be, at least from a jobs perspective, and actually a negative effect, at least in the short run, when broadband moves into a new rural area. I don't think that probably outweighs the gains that can be made, but it's something that we identified in the policy research so that policymakers are aware of this potential unintended effect, so that broadband expansion can be coupled with particularly workforce development policies or policies that promote entrepreneurship that can help offset some of those unintended consequences.
Yeah, and I just added that, Mark, that and we agree. That's why our focus is on access, adoption, and use. Technology in and of itself solves nothing. You need that adoption and use piece. If you don't skill up the workers and the businesses to be global, then it will have those unintended consequences. So when we really target technology towards specific outcomes, more is not better necessarily, unless you can guide the outcomes.
We are chatting about broadband development in Ohio. Stu Johnson with Connect Ohio, Mark Rembert of Ohio State, Brandon Kern of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. Intuitively, you would think the more rural, the less broadband. Talk to us about where the dots are, where the holes are in Ohio market. Is it easy to picture what that geography is that's underserved?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think when we think about access, so does a home have access to broadband, then those areas are primarily in rural areas. And if you look at Ohio compared to some neighboring states, so for instance, if we look at Pennsylvania, which in many ways is similar to Ohio, we actually have a lower level of rural broadband access in Ohio than Pennsylvania does. We actually look more like a state like Indiana, which has much lower rural population density than even Ohio does. So those holes are primarily in these rural areas. But, as Stu mentioned, access is important, but adoption is equally critical. To really get the economic value of broadband, people need to use it. And when you look at the map of adoption, it's a little bit more complicated. You can look at areas that have 99% broadband access, but very low levels of adoption, particularly in some of the urban areas of the state.
I want to explore that difference between access and adoption. But Brandon, we run into it in our organization. I'll never forget. I got a phone call from a member, and I said, sure, I'll email you that answer. She said, oh, no, we're a computer-free home. I think when you talk about a broad group of any demographic, there are people that just are going to be reluctant to not just not have broadband, but they still want to be computer-free.
It can be intimidating, I think, for some folks.
Old folks like me is what you're saying.
I wasn't going to go there. I wasn't going to go there. I was going to use like my grandparents, who might be a demographic age group ahead of you, Joe, significantly, of course, significantly ahead of you. But no, I think it can be intimidating. Obviously a powerful tool, but if you haven't grown up with it, so my kids don't know anything else but having that iPad in their hand. But an older generation who's just coming on, it can be quite a leap to get there. And so it can be kind of intimidating. It's not even necessarily an issue of I don't want to learn that, but I'm just kind of intimidated and don't even know where to start.
Stu, we only got about 30 seconds here. We won't get this all answered.
He can't do that, Joe.
So reluctance to adopt it is one thing. Is cost another barrier access?
The barriers are the same regardless of where you are, but how they stack up can be completely different. The general barriers are relevance, which is difficult because it could be lack of knowledge that leads to the relevance. Cost, computer ownership, and security issues. So, and of course, access. So how those stack up is completely different. And in rural areas, we find relevance kind of higher. In urban, we find cost being the primary barrier.
We'll be back to talk more about what we might do to expand broadband access across Ohio when we're back on Town Hall Ohio.
There's one thing I know, it's too slow. And don't I know, if I don't get there, don't just say I told you so. I told you so. It's too slow, don't I know.
The speed of the internet in rural Ohio is where we are today on Town Hall Ohio, and helping us understand what's going on and why and maybe how to fix it. Stu Johnson with Connect Ohio, Mark Rembert of Ohio State University, Brandon Kern of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Stu was doing a good job there ahead of the break, Mark, in explaining that there's a difference between availability and actually making use of the tool. You might have it coming right up to your front door, but you just choose not to. As you look at some of those areas in Ohio where that's the case, what are the big factors keeping people away from adopting the technology?
Well, we know price is a big factor. You know, you can just look at the breakdown of households by income and their utilization of broadband and whether they have a broadband subscription, and there's a clear relationship between household income and broadband utilization, which suggests that price is a big part of it, which is unfortunate because, again, going back to the potential economic benefits and especially savings that households can obtain through using broadband to shop and find goods and services, you would hope that it would be the lower income households that would be using broadband more to get those savings, and in fact it's the opposite. And I think that's where there are a lot of other factors. I don't know, Stu, I know you guys have done some research on this. You know, what have you found have been the factors that have affected adoption?
Well, in rural, again, it's generally digital skills and relevance. It's hard to say price. Obviously, if there was something I didn't know how to use, it wouldn't be relevant. And regardless of the price, it could be a nickel, and I wouldn't know. So a lot of times it has to do with just digital skills learning. I didn't know I could do my banking. Sometimes there's an event that's triggered it. Maybe the husband did the banking and he passed away. Or the doctor says, hey, you have to schedule your appointment online or get your lab results. And sometimes it's forced relevancy through policies and consumers like that. Because quite frankly, most of the economy expects you to be online. It's an expectation. And that's how they're communicating and delivering services to their customers.
Brandon, you started to touch on this a little bit ago. Farmers are not universally, but largely tech-savvy, information junkies. The ability to access data, put that data to use, extremely important in modern food production.
Yeah, I mean, we hit on it a little bit earlier, but incredibly important now. I mean, all aspects of agriculture now are data-driven. Everything from, you know, becoming more efficient and monitoring your inputs, and using those inputs efficiently, to, you know, Stu, you hit on earlier, real environmental benefits, right? So farmers want to do the right thing to help solve our water quality issues in the state, for example. And using that precision agriculture tools in terms of putting just the precise amount of fertilizer on the ground that crop needs requires data management and broadband system tools that help them manage that data. And so all the above, they use data throughout the process.
So, yeah. Stu, you used the term earlier, the Internet of Things. Describe what that is.
So it's machine-to-machine communications. You know, we've heard of an orchard in Michigan that a certain type of formula they process with on the trees only works at a certain humidity level. So they have sensors out there that automatically turns on and turns off the sprinklers based on the humidity level. You know, there's a lot of pressure on farming today. You know, there's reports out there that say we got to increase output by 70% by 2050. And you go to the Farm Bureau events and you hear the efficiency that's being gained now of how many acres it costs or they use to raise livestock and the amount of waste. And yet those don't necessarily add up with some other literature that we hear from on the other side of environment. So this data allows not only these farmers to be more precise and precision and up their performance, but also take care of some of these issues that, from the environmental side to prove how well they're doing. But now, you see, average household now has about 9.2 connected devices in their house. Farming would be over 20. Probably. Yeah. They are the epitome of early adopters. There was some research that came out about what kind of technology our farms going to use in the future. Autonomous vehicles wasn't even on it because guess what? They've already been doing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all excited about driverless cars. They've been doing it for years. I mean, they jump on this stuff. And what that means is they need more and more demand for the broadband. So what you see is what before was a low demand, low density area that wouldn't drive much consumption for investment. All of a sudden, there is opportunity to almost consider these farms as an anchor institution. I mean, it's not a farmhouse. It's a manufacturing plant.
Just real quick, 30 seconds here, Mark, the data. The two extremes of rural Ohio to me are Appalachia on the east and the almost prairie lands that are flat and farmed extensively on the west. Differences there between adoption?
I think there's somewhat lower in Appalachia, and especially with access, and that's largely because of just the barriers to infrastructure.
The hills,
right?
Get in the way.
The hills get in the way, both for, you know, in flatter areas of the state, as Stu mentioned, fixed broadband, which is becoming a more popular technology, is viable because it's flat and you get you can get sight lines between the receiver and the antenna. But in Appalachia, there are just challenges to the topography that make broadband expansion a little bit more difficult.
We'll be back to talk more about broadband in Ohio right after this.
Connection, well, I just can't make no connection. Well, all I want to do.
Broadband connections in Ohio, that's our topic, especially in rural areas, with Stu Johnson of Connect Ohio, Mark Rembert of Ohio State University, and the SWANC program in rural urban policy. Brandon Kern of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Brandon, you're a perfect example of the limitations, and it's not like you live out clear over along the West Virginia border.
Right.
You're not that far from Columbus and have some broadband challenges at the house.
Yeah, absolutely. So we live in southern Fairfield County, which is only about 35 miles south of downtown Columbus. And, you know, our one option for broadband access in our house, by the way, right across from the family farm, is that fixed internet option or fixed broadband.
Wireless.
Yeah. And, you know, quite frankly, not the highest quality. I don't know a lot about the download speeds myself, but I can tell you that it's not the highest download speed, you know, if you compare to what the options are in downtown Columbus. So pretty limited options for us for high quality broadband access, even though we technically probably under your studies, Stu and Mark, qualify for having access to broadband. It's not necessarily the highest.
So why is that? Do people just not like Brandon and his family? They just don't want to provide them with better service?
Yeah, so fiber is the gold standard. And even if you're using wireless, you need fiber to get to the wireless tower. So fiber is the gold standard, and it costs about $25,000 a mile to lay it. Could be less if you hang it on poles, and it could be significantly more if you're dealing with topography issues like in Appalachia. But for sake of argument, $25,000. In Vinton County, there's 14 households per square mile. Per road mile, there might be six. At a 70% adoption, you get four customers. If basic internet is $60 a month and the carrier can make 50% margin, both of those are extreme, that's $30 a month for the four customers. It would take him 16 years to pay off that 1 mile investment, and that's without any maintenance and upgrades to the infrastructure. So that's the math. What are the solutions to that problem? One is a lot of people could move there, but that's maybe not even desirable or likely. So one is to build consumption, and we see that with the farms. See, now we find farmers right now paying $70 a month for a 14 meg download. $70 a month here would get me 60.
Yep,
so they're eager. 23% of the farmers in Vinton County rely on satellite. They will pay more. I'm not saying gouge them, but they would require more than basic internet. The other avenue is to defray that $25,000 investment. A lot of that investment is permitting, right away, zoning, shovel, and we can get rid of some of that with a broadband office like Mark recommends to negotiate with all the other agencies, Jobs Ohio, the Farm Bureau, everybody that's impacted by this, to make that deployment cost quicker and cheaper, and then you can make that math work.
Let's start to go down that path. We've been kind of painting the picture of what the problems are, and I know part of your connecting the dots study, Mark, at Ohio State was to, okay, how do we fix the problems? So where do you start? What are some of the high-end solution ideas we need to think about?
Well, I think our high-end solution ideas are always the cheap ones. So what are the things we could do at low cost? So as Stu mentioned, you know, the state, there are so many different agencies that touch broadband in different ways. ODOT touches broadband when it does road projects. The Ohio Department of Education touches broadband. The Department of Higher Education touches broadband. You know, the list goes on and on. And right now, there's no coordinated office that tries to look at all these different agencies that might be doing different projects in these counties that lack access and ask, how do we leverage these projects to lower the cost of broadband provision? So if the state's doing a road project, that'd be a great opportunity to at least lay conduit in the right-of-way that a future broadband provider might be able to access and dramatically lower that cost of extending broadband in an area.
Brandon, I'm going to jump in here. There are more solutions to look at. We work heavily at the State House with the administration. Is there an appetite for looking at something like this?
You know, one of the things that might be a little concerning to listeners that broadband really hadn't been a topic of conversation at the State House, I don't think, in my opinion at least, for the last 5 years or so. I feel like it was around 2007, 2008, really hot and heavy when Connect Ohio, I think, was right around the time that you guys were founded, and then it's really kind of waned, which is a little bit concerning. I think there would be, but I think there needs to be more of a conversation.
It's a struggle, but Mark's report helps a lot. And as he mentioned, too, the state is one of the leaders in educational broadband, government access, public safety. But when it comes to residential and commercial, it has kind of been on the sidelines. But that's changing. You know, the debate is starting to favor us.
So we bring government together to think about this issue. That's one of the first steps. There have got to be more, and we're going to explore those as we get ready to wrap up this week's discussion on broadband service in Ohio. Stu Johnson, Mark Rembert, Brandon Kern will be back right after this. We are talking broadband in Ohio with Stu Johnson of Connect Ohio, Brandon Kern of the Ohio Farm Bureau, and Mark Rembert of Ohio State. Mark's role is to share with us a little bit of what they did in a recent study at the university on what the status is of broadband in rural Ohio and some things that might be done to fix it. So we talked about getting all the government agencies working in the same direction. What about, I think the term you used is have a dig once policy. I think intuitively I know what that means.
Sure. So this is a strategy that's being used by several states across the country in which they basically create a set of guidelines that when a public body, whether it be local government or state government, engages in typically road construction projects in which the right-of-way is going to be dug up for some reason, that either conduit is laid that can be used for later access by broadband providers, or broadband providers are informed that this right-of-way is going to be dug up and basically offer the opportunity to lay infrastructure at a much lower cost while the right-of-way is being excavated for some other purpose, like a road project or something like that. So it's a pretty simple fix. It's just a matter of coordination, but it's a way that could start lowering that cost of reaching these more remote, more lower density areas of the state.
Stu, what about the idea of collaboration between the private sector and state, local, federal government? I assume that's something that might help in this process?
Yeah, and historically it's been difficult, especially in right-of-way access. Over the years, there have been bad deals between government and telecom providers that have led to some very valid challenges on both sides. So that's why Connect Ohio plays an important role, because we are independent and we can facilitate those conversations and hopefully bring information in from other states, other projects that can help collaborate that. Also, as Mark mentioned, there's so many different agencies that could benefit from broadband. Again, whether it's public safety, education, all those different things, and PUCO and ODOT, and it could be a sewer project that we could put broadband in. So it's the collaboration of all those different agencies that see that end goal in mind, which is economic development and broadband development.
So I couldn't help but think back when Mark was talking, and I think Stu too, about the cost of stringing fiber optic cable with very few customers over every line mile. And I couldn't help but think back in the 30s when that was the problem facing rural areas that wanted to be electrified. The Farm Bureau got engaged there. I'm not suggesting we're going to start a broadband service company, but that's kind of what we do. We get involved in these community issues, Brandon.
Yeah, I mean, we have a long and storied history of bringing the different interested parties on an issue like this that has benefit for all together, and I think that's why this has been a part of our policy discussions for several years now, and looking for ways to be a resource.
Yeah, one of the recommendations Mark had was for an investment fund. Several states have this. There's a lot of conversation right now in the budget at D.C. that's including broadband, which we think is important, and there's been a lot of headway in that regard. But at the end of the day, there's still going to be pockets in Ohio, some large, where the math still won't work, and it will need just a little bit, regardless of the dig once and the private-public partnership and the broadband office and those other recommendations. They're still going to need probably a little bit to get it over the edge, because the gap is so big, and that's what we'd like to see here in Ohio.
So, Mark, if you had to say to our listeners right now the one thing they could do, that if they see this as a problem, whether they just want the state to be better served or they live in these pockets, what could the average John Q. citizen do?
Well, I think for people who don't have access to broadband, I know Connect Ohio has a hotline that you can connect with to express the fact that you don't and try to find solutions. I think people need to be more vocal when they don't. I live in a rural area. I have good access, but I have friends and that live around the county that don't have broadband access at all. And, you know, I tell them, you need to talk to your county commissioners. You need to talk to your state reps. You need to make it known that you don't have access, because this is becoming sort of, you know, it's something that households can't survive without anymore.
Where do folks find your study?
They can, unfortunately, they're going to have to go online to find it. They can, if they just Google the SWANC program in rural urban policy, they'll be able to find our policy brief on our website.
And I'm assuming Connect Ohio might have one of them newfangled internet pictures up
by
there.
Golly,
on the
we just put it up. connectohio.org. You can email info@connectohio.org. We get broadband inquiries. I got one this morning in Troy that we try to address these issues and get them fixed up.
And you can reach Brandon Kern and all of us from Farm Bureau at ofbf.org. Thanks to all of you for tuning us in today on Town Hall Ohio.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall Ohio.